Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. I'm Jason. Next to me is Michael.
Hello, hello.
And Will is off this week gallivanting. He's on a sea quest to Disney Sea. Nah, he's just out.
He could be at Disney Sea.
He could be at Disney Sea.
We have no way of knowing.
Nope. Absolutely not. Although we could ask that friendly dolphin that we've given a translation matrix to or whatever.
Darwin?
Yeah, wasn't he able to talk to Jonathan Brandis?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we wish him well in his dolphin-related absence. If you'd like to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, and hang out with us on our Patreon-exclusive Slack channel, become one of our Patreon Saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. All of our Patreon Saints get access to two additional shows, TFP Extra,
Extra.
And Disney Classics. Each week on TFP Extra,
Extra,
we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances and a topic that may or may not be Disney related. On the monthly Disney Classics series, we watch and discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. We just released our episode on Mulan, and our next classic will be The Black Cauldron. And I'm going to assume that we'll be doing a watch along the week after Thanksgiving. So stay tuned for more announcements. Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site. So sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of The Florida Project. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. I will take us on a trip down Main Tweet USA. And then we'll celebrate the birthdays of the greatest mouse couple of all time, Mickey and Minnie. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topics. All right, there are lots of birthday celebrations this week. What is your favorite way to celebrate your birthday? This is when the Valentine's babies matured in the last week.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I would say go to Benihana for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That's become a tradition.
Yep.
For years now.
Get your coupon.
Mm-hmm. And celebrate with at least you.
Yeah.
And some friends, but not like a huge group of friends.
Yeah. Like you don't want like a big rager party.
Yeah.
Like a kegger.
I've had some good parties in the last few years, but I like a more low-key affair.
Yeah. Yeah, mine is I like to either travel, which is what we're doing this year, or some sort of activity. Like we've done escape rooms a lot the last mm-hmm. few years, and I enjoy that. And just like a nice casual dinner. So either a big trip or some activity in a more low-key type of thing.
Yeah, I like my birthday, the time we celebrated at Disneyland. That was fun.
Yep.
But that's not a regular occurrence.
You got to ride in the front of the monorail on that mm-hmm. on your birthday, on that trip. All right. Elon Musk, short for Elongated Muskrat, according to the Weekly Planet, took over Twitter a couple of weeks ago, and things aren't great. What large established corporation or like business sector would you choose if you were tasked with acquiring and then destroying a corporation?
I would probably go after cable news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. One in particular.
Take that, BBC. One. I think it was BBC One.
Yeah, I would try to destroy, if I had to destroy a company, one. Because I don't want to like put people out of jobs.
Yep.
But if it's a company that's like actively hurting the world
yeah.
in some capacity, then I would want to take them down.
Well, that's fair.
I'm sure there's worse companies, but I can't think of any.
Yeah. Mine would be, I think the easiest one to take down would be like a movie studio and do kind of a producer's type of situation where you're just green lighting terrible things. But the one on the producers was called Springtime for Hitler. Is that right?
Yeah.
Like they had to make a musical and lose money or something somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. They were trying to make a flop, but it ended up being very successful.
Yeah. So I think I could take over Warner Brothers and shut it down.
I don't shut it down.
Yeah. I don't want to shut it. Actually, I wouldn't take over Warner Brothers. Sony. I'd take over Sony.
Yeah, that's fair.
Shut them down. And then, or just the movie part. And then we can get those Spider-Man rights back over to Marvel. Get rid of this Venom thing. And finally, if Mickey Mouse decided to make a big career change, what job do you think he would be best suited for?
Train conductor.
Oh, that's good.
Or not conductor. Maybe the person that comes by and takes your ticket.
Yeah.
Your general all-purpose. What's the person on a cruise ship that's like the head of...
Oh, the cruise director?
Yeah, the cruise director, head of activities and stuff. Your social director.
Yep.
Something like that I think you'd be really good at.
Yeah, mine's similar, but a less prestigious job. Walmart greeter.
Oh, yeah.
I think you would be, welcome to Walmart. Oh, boy. There's the returns. And that's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason. Those are some great small topics. News. Here are three news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World. Number one, price changes come to annual passes and single day tickets.
Dun, dun, dun.
So first up, park-specific pricing will begin starting December 8th for one-day, one-park tickets, and this joins the already existing date-specific pricing. Disney's Animal Kingdom will remain the same price and the cheapest at $109 to $159, depending on the date. Disney's Hollywood Studios will be going up to $124 to $179. Epcot will be $114 to $179. And the Magic Kingdom, which is the most popular, will be $124 up to $189.
Wow! I haven't looked at the single day prices in a long time. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's basically what Animal Kingdoms is. So like now it's $109 at its cheapest currently for any park.
But now it's different for each of the parks.
Yeah. So also expect Hopper add-on to vary in price by date as well. The lowest ticket price of $109 has not changed in the last 4 years, but is now limited to just Disney's Animal Kingdom.
It hasn't changed, but you can't get it.
In better news, Disney will also start automatically assigning a park pass reservation at the time of a single-day, single-park ticket purchase, replacing the current manual system that relies on guests making a reservation after purchasing the ticket. This will also start on December 8th.
Well, that's good. Like one less step.
Yeah.
Especially if you're spending all that money, then they can do that extra step for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but not doing it just makes it hard on people that aren't that familiar with Disney and may not know to do that. And
yeah.
You don't want to show up on your Disney day and be told you don't have a reservation so you can't get in.
Yeah. And I guess if it was full that day, that park, then you probably couldn't buy a one-day, one-park ticket for that park. So,
yeah.
It makes sense.
On the annual pass front, prices will be increasing for most of the passes. IncrediPass will cost $13.99, up from $12.99. Sorcerer Pass will cost $9.69, up from $8.99. Pirate Pass will cost $7.49, up from $6.99. And the Pixie Pass will still cost $399. So no change for the lowest tier pass. Note that new annual pass purchases for the IncrediPass, Sorcerer Pass, and Pirate Pass are still on hold, though they can be renewed. The Pixie Pass is still available, though it is the most restrictive in available days to visit. The new pricing will go into effect whenever the passes are available for purchase once again. Renewal pricing is unclear at this moment, but it's typically discounted.
Yeah, that's a bold strategy, is increasing ticket prices on something that you can't buy.
Yeah, the only thing I think of is I guess the renewal price will also go up.
Yeah, I guess so.
Before the discount, or maybe they got rid of the discount. I don't know. We won't really know until later.
Yeah.
Number two, dining reservation cancellation will now be more flexible. So Disney has modified its Walt Disney World restaurant cancellation policy to offer more flexibility when dining plans change. Guests can now cancel most dining reservations at Walt Disney World up to 2 hours before the booking without incurring a penalty. Before this change, guests had to cancel a reservation the day before to avoid a $10 per person cancellation fee. This new dining cancellation policy does not apply to Hoop Dee Doo Musical Review, Victoria and Albert's, and Monsieur Paul, and each of those have their own dining cancellation policies that remain as is. So check with your dining reservation confirmation email for details of any specific restaurant policies. And I think we talked about last week or a couple weeks ago, the Monsieur Paul one is very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really excited about this change. This is a great change. Like, you're not forced to go somewhere you don't want to. And then I think it also, for the people who don't want to plan super far in advance, like, it'll open up or it'll help probably open up more reservations at the last minute, and then also make the walk-up sort of line flow faster, I think.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. I am very much for this change.
Yeah, and I understand why they have like the cancellation policy. It's just so people just don't grab reservations and just hold on to them.
Yeah.
But still, it does suck when you're just trying to use the system normally.
Yep.
And then you can potentially get penalized for it.
Yeah, they kind of, with the meal plan or the dining plan, which they're not doing anymore and doesn't seem like it's coming back. They kind of trained people that you have to have a reservation for everything and made it so much harder to get reservations for things.
Yeah.
So this will help hopefully untrain people, especially as the dining plan doesn't come back. If the dining plan doesn't come back. So pretty cool.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look.
We all artists, man. We go, you feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit.
Don't
right
play
now.
With this
I gotta
shit.
Lie, we play with this shit right now for bro, I gotta
don't
lie.
Play it, don't bro. Play with it. No. Take that shit serious.
Number three, the 2022 Disney Parks holiday specials have been announced.
Woohoo!
So ABC and Disney Parks have announced the details for this year's holiday specials, and there will be two: The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Christmas Celebration and the Disney Parks Magical Christmas Day Parade. Derek Huff and Julian Huff return as hosts for both specials, but are joined by Freeform's Sherry Cola and Gronish's Marcus Scribner for the Christmas Day Parade. The Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration will air on ABC Sunday, November 27th from 8 to 10 p.m.
Woo-hoo.
And stream next day on Hulu and Disney Plus. Disney Parks Magical Christmas Day Parade will air on ABC, stream live on Hulu to all subscribers Sunday, December 5th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Disney says, quote, "The specials, filmed from Walt Disney World Resort in Florida and Disneyland Resort in California, will feature musical performances of holiday classics and cheerful new hits, showcasing heartwarming family stories and offer sneak peeks at what's new around the Walt Disney Company. Plus, Freeform's Trevor Jackson will perform aboard the newest Disney cruise ship, the Disney Wish, and a sneak peek at the highly anticipated upcoming major motion picture, Avatar: The Way of Water, only in theaters December 16th, 2022.
Ooh.
Musical performances include the Black Eyed Peas, David Foster, Catherine McPhee, Il Volo, Jordan Sparks, Meghan Trainor, Ne-Yo, Run DMC, and more.
Hanson.
I didn't see Hanson in the list, sadly.
I've only seen them once, I think.
In the Christmas parade?
On the Christmas show. I've seen them plenty of times.
Okay.
That's cool. I think stream live on Hulu is a little misleading, but we'll allow it.
It'll be as live as it is on ABC.
Right. It'll simulcast.
Yeah.
But love a good Love a good holiday special, especially on Thanksgiving weekend. First couple of weeks in December. Really get you in the mood.
I always want to watch the Disney Parade. And we usually do, I think. But I find that it's mostly musical performances.
Yeah.
And less parade. And just like the amount of parade in the Disney Christmas Parade, that is it for news.
Okay. That's some good news, Michael.
Tweet.
This week on Main Tweet USA, Mickey's Toontown to reopen at Disneyland Park on March 8th, 2023. The reimagined Mickey's Toontown will provide open, grassy play spaces for everyone to unwind, starting with Centennial Park, the first space guests will see when they enter the land. Centennial Park will be anchored by two new interactive play experiences, a beautiful fountain featuring water tables designed for play that invite guests to have a sensory experience, plus a nearby dreaming tree with sculpted tree roots, providing an opportunity for children to crawl and explore. It's a little splash pad in the playground.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
You can get germs there too.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can get germs anywhere there are children.
There's a plethora of germs in that dreaming tree roots.
Mm-hmm. And pee in those fountains.
Oh, probably.
Mickey's Toontown will be home to a new attraction, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Inside the El Capitan Theater, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will put you in the wacky and unpredictable cartoon world of Mickey and Minnie, where you'll board a train with Goofy as the engineer. One magical moment after the next leads you to a zany, out-of-control adventure filled with surprising twists and turns that the entire family will enjoy. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway will open on January 27th when the Disney 100 Years of Wonder celebration comes to life at Disneyland Resort. Also, check out Goofy's House and Goofy's How to Play Yard. Donald's Boat and Donald's Duck Pond, Chippendale's Gadget Coaster, Mickey's House and Minnie's House, Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin, Cafe Disney, and Good Boy Grocers.
Cafe Daisy.
Oh, Daisy. Oh, that's
big
nice.
Difference.
Yeah, big difference.
Yeah, there's a lot of concept art online. So yeah, it should be cool.
Is it a straight port of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway?
No, I think.
There'll be different scenes?
I think I read that they're going to have two new rooms or two additional rooms that we don't have. And I think theirs is laid out differently. Like, because ours obviously was put in the space of the Great Movie Ride. So I don't know if there's in the same order, but I did see that they're going to get two new scenes or rooms or whatever.
Well, that's cool.
So yeah. But other than that, I think it's supposed to be the same.
Yeah. All right. I'll allow it. And that's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Jason. That was a great trip down Disneyland's Main Tweet USA.
Today's topic is Mickey and Minnie's 94th birthday celebration, 10 fun facts. So Michael is going to, he and Will did some research and found some fun facts about Mickey that we thought we'd share to celebrate his 100th birthday, 94th birthday. So,
take it away. I always remember their birthday. Well, I didn't realize it was Minnie's birthday too, but I always remember Mickey's birthday because it's the day after my birthday.
It is.
Though I'm not 94.
Right, yet. Right. They were here before you.
Yes. So some of these facts, like most facts, you may already know, or they may be new information.
Mm-hmm.
So the info has been sourced from Wikipedia, the Disney food blog, D23.com, and the Disney Wiki. So number one, Steamboat Willie was not the first Mickey cartoon.
What?
So many folks might know that Steamboat Willie was the first Mickey Mouse released and the first cartoon with synchronized sound, but did you know it's not actually the first ever cartoon Mickey was in?
I did not.
There were actually two fully completed Mickey Mouse cartoons made prior to Steamboat Willie. The first completed cartoon was called Playing Crazy and was inspired by Charles Lindbergh's first solo flight across the Atlantic. The plot had Mickey attempting to assemble his very own airplane and going on an adventurous flight with Minnie until some unwanted things end the trip.
Always happens. Something goes wrong.
The film tested well with audiences, but it failed to pick up a distributor after its May 1928 test screening.
Huh. Did it ever get released?
Yes.
Is that later on in this fact?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. But, I mean, it's out there if you want to see it. So, it got released somehow.
Yeah, I guess, you know, at some point, Mickey was a giant hit. And they're like, well, we got these two other shorts. Let's get them out there.
Yeah, I don't know if they, like, they may have, yeah, released it later once he became popular.
Yeah.
So, according to the Walt Disney Family Museum, the second Mickey Mouse cartoon, The Galloping Gaucho, also failed to get distributed. One distributor said to Walt, quote, they don't know you and they don't know your mouse. This cartoon was originally made as a silent film, but released in 1928 after sound was added.
Nice. Again, love that Disney Family Museum. If you're ever in San Francisco, it's worth a trip.
And it's worth going again, like if you go back to San Francisco and you haven't been, because they change, like, so, you know, like most museums,
yeah, they
change,
like, rotating.
Yeah, so you can get new information.
Yeah.
Steamboat Willie was the third short of the series to be produced, but released first on November 18th, 1928. Hence the birthday.
Ah.
Pete was featured as the captain of the steamboat, Mickey as a crew of one, and Minnie as the single passenger. The two anthropomorphic mice first starred in the sound film and spend most of its duration playing music to the tune of Turkey in the Straw.
Is that that? Nah, 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 nah.
Something like that, yeah.
That was, I think, all that jazz.
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Even though that's not his song.
That whistling that he does at the beginning of the...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right, number two. Minnie was initially created to be the love interest of Mickey Mouse, and concept art for Mickey showed a female mouse alongside him. So Minnie was designed in the fashion of a flapper girl. Her main outfit consisted of a short flapper girl dress that often revealed her distinctive patched knickers.
Yikes.
In the 1929 cartoon, The Carnival Kid, it was also revealed that she wears black stockings, which were also fashionable among flapper girls. What's a flapper girl?
It's the that 20s.
Is it like a dress style or is it like a type of?
Yeah, it's that. It's the dress that. It kind of has a long body and then it flares out a little bit. And they have the headbands on normally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Like, that's the...
That's a flapper girl?
That's a flapper.
Okay.
And the they do this a lot.
The hands?
Yeah, the hands. I want to say that Mary and them in Downton Abbey at some point were dressed like flappers.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
All right, her shoes are probably her most distinctive article of clothing. So for comedic effect, she wears oversized high-heeled pumps that are too big for her feet. Her heels often slip out of the shoes, and she even loses her shoes completely in The Galloping Gaucho. When she walked or danced, the clip-clop of her large pumps was usually heard clearly and often went with the rhythm of the music that was played in the background. Along with Mickey, she was redesigned in 1940. Her hat was replaced with a large bow, and bows were added to her shoes as well. Her eyes were also given more detail. Throughout the 1940s and 50s, her look and personality became more conservative. Minnie almost always wears red or pink, but in her early appearances, she could be seen wearing a combination of blue, black, or green, when not depicted in black and white. And we'll talk more about the redesign of Mickey Mouse throughout the years later.
Yeah.
Number three, did you know Mickey's birthday wasn't always in November?
I did not. I've only recently remembered that Mickey's birthday was in November.
So nowadays, we celebrate Mickey's birthday on November 18th, the date that Steamboat Willie debuted, which is the day that we're recording this. But that wasn't always the case. In 1933, Walt said that Mickey's birthday was in October, saying, quote, Mickey Mouse will be 5 years old on Sunday. He was born on October 1st, 1928.
Oh.
That was the date on which his first picture was started, so we have allowed him to claim this day as his birthday, per the Walt Disney Family Museum. Over the next several decades, Mickey's birthday was altered several times, often to conform to various marketing promotions ranging from late September to December. In 1978, the founder of the Disney Archives, Dave Smith, determined that the Steamboat Willie premiere was Mickey's birthday as it was his true first public appearance.
Huh. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like Walt's version should be the that should be the source of truth, Walt Disney. And also, when you first drew him, that's when he first came to life. You know, like a baby, when a baby's born. Like, let's say Jonathan Brandis again. He was a child actor. And his debut was, you know, some years after he was born.
Yeah.
But you don't say that his birthday was the day that his first picture came out.
It's true.
You'd say that his birthday is the day that he was first brought into the world.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's the right. I don't know why they decided the Walt Disney version wasn't the acceptable version.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Oh, well, but now it's November 18th.
Yep.
The day after my birthday.
Maybe it's easier to remember.
Yeah.
I guess that it was his first picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't like it, but I'll allow it.
Number four, Walt was the original voice of Mickey and Minnie. So when Mickey fully found his voice, he was voiced by Walt Disney himself. That's a pretty well-known fact, but did you know that Walt also voiced Mickey Mouse, also voiced Minnie Mouse too? At least at first. So Walt and other staff members voiced Minnie in her early cartoons until the early 1930s, when her voice switched over to ink and paint artist Marcellite Garner. Walt voiced Mickey starting with Steamboat Willie in 1928 all the way through 1946. And interestingly enough, the exception to that appears to be when Carl Stalling voiced Mickey's first word.
What was his first word? Do we know?
We'll find out.
Ooh.
Right now. So during the initial run of Mickey Mouse shorts, Mickey did not actually speak. He whistled, laughed, cried, and otherwise vocally expressed himself. But it wasn't until his ninth short film, Carnival Kid, in 1929, in which Mickey's first said actual words. So Mickey's first spoken line is, "Hot dogs, hot dogs."
Huh.
The voice being provided by composer Carl W. Stalling instead of Walt Disney, who, like we mentioned, is the original full voice of Mickey Mouse, at least until the 1940s.
Well, that's cool. Hot dog, hot dog, hot diggity dog. And that's a fact for the Hot Dog Channel on for our Patreon saints.
Number five, do you know why Mickey wears white gloves?
No. Maybe they ran out of other colors?
Well, there might be a few reasons.
Oh.
So according to Mental Floss, Mickey wears gloves so that it's easier to see his hands against his body. Mickey's black torso could easily absorb the definition of his bare hands, so the white gloves help them to stick out. Mickey may also wear gloves, according to some sources, to make him look more human.
Yeah, I bet it's the black versus white like
contrast.
The contrast. Oftentimes, cartoons are drawn in a way like for reasons like that. Like the Simpsons have four fingers because it's easier to draw than five.
Those Family Guy characters just look weird.
Yeah. Nobody really wears plaid because it's hard to animate.
Number six, Mickey and Minnie are married. Or are they?
Yeah, this is unclear to me. Sometimes they seem like they are. Sometimes they seem like they're dating. It's like a Kermit and Miss Piggy type of situation for me.
Well, it's a common question among Disney fans and what exactly the relationship between Mickey and Minnie is. In some cartoons, they seem like they're just beginning to date. In others, they seem married for years. So what's the deal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mickey and Minnie have never officially married on screen, but in the eyes of the studio, they are married, according to the Walt Disney Family Museum. As Walt put it, quote, "In private life, Mickey is married to Minnie. What it really amounts to is that Minnie is, for screen purposes, his leading lady. If the story calls for a romantic courtship, then Minnie is the girl. But when the story requires a married couple, then they appear as man and wife. In the studio, we have decided that they are married already," end quote. And one super cute detail is that the two of the later voices of Mickey and Minnie were actually married.
Oh, I love details like that.
So that was Wayne Allwine, who voiced Mickey from 1977 to 2009, and Russi Taylor, who voiced Minnie from 1986 up to most recently 2019, tied the knot together.
Oh, that's nice. I love that kind of stuff. Like the Anna and Prince Hans on the Frozen tour, they were married.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What could have been?
No, wait, I think it was Elsa. Number 7, Mickey Mouse's design has changed 13 times so far. So we'll go through each of the 13 changes in Mickey's appearance.
Okay.
At least try to describe them. So in 1928, Mickey's first created film, Plane Crazy, Mickey had no shoes or gloves. In 1928, by Steamboat Willie, which we mentioned was the third produced, Mickey now wore shoes.
He didn't have gloves in Steamboat Willie?
Apparently not.
Huh.
So in 1929, Mickey was actually mouse-sized in one short film. It was called When the Cat's Away, and many as well. The short also debuted the white gloves.
Mm. These early ones were really kind of off-putting.
Yeah.
Like, he looked very...
But you can see, like, just by... there's been three already in the span of a year that they're still kind of figuring out what he looks like. So also in 1929, often when someone thinks of classic cartoons, there's a specific design that comes to mind. Black and white, rubbery limbs, and eyes with a slice cut out of them like a piece of pie.
Mm-hmm.
This style of eye, fondly nicknamed Pie Eyes, first appeared on Mickey in this short and is frequently associated with Mickey's early cartoons. Though I forgot to put the name of the short, so I don't know what short that was. Oh.
Mickey and the Pie Eyes.
Again, in 1929, we mentioned that the short film Carnival Kid was the first in which Mickey actually spoke words, but it also contained a visual gag that may have inspired one of the most famous pieces of Mickey Mouse merchandise ever. Mickey tips his ears like a hat to Minnie Mouse, and the imagery of his ears being used as a hat foreshadows the classic mouse ears hat used by the Mickey Mouse Club and sold as a must-have souvenir in Disney theme parks all over the world.
Oh, that's neat.
So I think he, like, took off his ears like a hat.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Yeah.
We have a Disney Christmas tree, and we use a set of Mickey ears as the topper for it.
Mm-hmm.
It also seems like during this time, I mean, this is what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different designs in 2 years. It seems like everybody just down the hall were working on different Mickey shorts, and nobody had really gotten together in the conference room and been like, this is what he looks like.
Yeah, my favorite one is... The one time he was actually mouse-sized.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to 1935 for the short film The Band Concert, which establishes Mickey's red and yellow clothing color scheme for good in his first full-colored animated experience to be released in theaters.
Ooh.
Walt Disney knew the importance of looking forward to the future, and with this development of color cartoons, he knew he was never going back to black and white. In 1938, the short film Brave Little Taylor debuted another very popular and classic Mickey Mouse outfit, his peasant outfit.
Yeah, is this when he started getting, like, plumper, too?
Yeah.
Like, more what you think of when you think
not
of
it. Not as creepy looking.
Yeah. Not as rat-like. He looked very rat-like originally.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
The longer nose.
Yeah.
Good job. In 1939... in the Pointer short film, where Mickey tries to train Pluto to become a hunting dog, the most classic version of Mickey Mouse is established. His now flesh-toned face and pupiled eyes, a new style supervised by artist Fred Moore, have become standard for Mickey Mouse's modern design.
Yeah.
In 1940, although the Pointer established Mickey's new look, another on-screen appearance would truly popularize it. In the Sorcerer's Apprentice segment of Fantasia, Mickey debuts another one of his most classic outfits, his red robe, and Yen Sid's blue and white starred hat that have come to symbolize Disney everywhere, from the Disney theme park show Fantasmic to the Walt Disney Animation Studios in Burbank.
It's crazy to me that the version of Mickey Mouse that you think of when you think of Mickey Mouse is that old. Like, it's the 1940, 1939, 1940.
Yeah.
That, like, your quintessential classic Mickey Mouse is... was born then and hasn't, up until, you know, the Ren and Stimpy era, hasn't really changed all that much.
Well, in 1952, Mickey becomes even more stylized in Pluto's Party. Mickey's face becomes more pear-shaped, and he gains more expression with the addition of eyebrows. This look also is used for the Mickey Mouse Club logo, a symbol beloved in the hearts of Disney fans everywhere.
Yeah.
Then there was a long gap where Mickey looked exactly the same.
Yeah.
So jump ahead half a century.
Yeah.
The year 2000.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
So after a long time with a single look, Mickey became modernized in the TV show Mickey Mouse Works. His design was a throwback to the old school Mickey design established in The Pointer and The Sorcerer's Apprentice, while also introducing Mickey Mouse to the modern era. This design was a standard for Mickey Mouse cartoons of the 2000s, such as The Prince and the Pauper, House of Mouse, and The Three Musketeers. So The Prince and the Pauper was in the 1990s, but
yeah.
I guess they're lumping it all together.
I guess so. It was like an era.
In the 2002 to 2010 time period, all of Mickey's prior redesigns were made for hand-drawn animation on the movie and television screens, but Mickey also had several redesigns for a new medium, video games. Two of his most famous appearances are his role as King Mickey from the series Kingdom Hearts and as the protagonist and namesake of Epic Mickey. In Kingdom Hearts, Mickey's design is similar to his usual early 2000s design, but he is dressed to match the design aesthetic of the human characters of the game. Epic Mickey, on the other hand, revives Mickey's style from his The Band concert days to better match the design with that of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, his co-star. And then lastly, the 13th one actually started in 2013.
Ooh.
That's the newest entry in animated adaptations of Mickey and Friends Cartoon Capers, features a stylized design harkening back to Mickey's days of rubber limbs and pie eyes, but with an emphasis on the potential for silliness and mischief. The cartoon makes the best of both worlds with a modern sensibility inspired by the classic look of Mickey Mouse that we have all come to associate with the best of Disney. And this is the style that the current short films as well as Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway use.
Yeah, this is the kind of Ren and Stimpy style. And I think it's the same art director or something, maybe.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially Goofy.
Yeah.
Like we talked about before. He looks weird and definitely seems like a Ren and Stimpy character.
Yeah.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
Yeah, I like it. I like it as a... occasional thing, but they still are using the like original Mickey, and like when you do a meet and greet with Mickey, he's what you think of as Mickey. It's not the new version. So I like that they have a couple of different versions of him.
Yeah, that's true. Medium. Yeah.
Media.
Yeah, they don't feel the need to change him everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, number 8. Did you know that Mickey Mouse has an extended family? These rarely, if ever, appear in animated form and originate in the comic strips.
Oh, he has nephews or something, right?
Yes, he has twin nephews, Morty and Ferdy Fieldmouse. There's also Felicity Fieldmouse, also known as Amelie Mouse Fieldmouse or Amelie Fieldmouse or simply Miss Fieldmouse.
Wow.
Who is an anthropomorphic mouse who is Mickey Mouse's older sister and Morty and Ferdy's mother.
Okay.
You have Madeline Mouse, Mickey's blonde city cousin, who appeared in Love Trouble, a strip serial that ran from April 14th to July 5th, 1941. And while referred to as blonde in the story itself, Madeline also has been colored with straight yellow fur in some printings of the story.
Instead of like a blonde, like hair?
Yeah.
They just made her.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And there are others that have been mentioned, but don't have much info on.
That's like sigils. They just describe what the sigil is, and then it's up to whoever to draw them out. It's like, she's blonde. Okay, I got it.
She's all blonde.
Yeah.
I guess if you're all hair.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. Like, I can see where the logic goes.
So there are other relatives that have been mentioned, but there's not much info on them. You have Mickey's father and mother, Grandpa Joe Mouse, Gammy, great-grandpa Albemarle Mouse, great-great-great-grandpa Jonathan Tobias Mouse,
good Lord,
Uncle Albert, Aunt Victoria, Cousin Alistair, Cornelius Mouse, Sherman Mouse, and more.
Do you think this is where they came up with Victoria and Alberts?
I don't know.
Could it be named after Mickey's random aunt and uncle?
Probably not, but maybe.
I think it is.
I don't know one way or the other.
100% confirmed. Mephisto...
You would not believe where Victoria and Albert's get this name from. All right, number 9. Similarly, did you know that Minnie Mouse has an extended family? And again, these rarely, if ever, appear in animated form and originate in the comic strips. You have Millie and Melody Mouse, who are twin nieces of Minnie Mouse. Although they can be full of mischief, they are sweet, just like their aunt. There's Marcus Mouse, Minnie's stern father. He is a farmer and runs the family farm with his wife.
Why is this a Rhaenyra and Damon situation? Why is their last name the same? Mickey and Minnie's.
Oh, I don't know.
Like Minnie's.
Maybe dad. In Mouse Society, your last name is your species.
Just regular mouse versus field mouse?
Yeah.
Okay.
You have Marshall Mouse, and not much is known about him except that he has a wife named Matilda. He is father to Marcus Mouse and paternal grandfather to Minnie Mouse. You have Mandy Mouse, who is Minnie's mischievous sister.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then she has even more nieces, Zizi Mouse, Pammy Mouse, Tammy Mouse, Lily Mouse, and Tiny Mouse.
So, I hope Tiny Mouse is like a big hulking mouse, like Lisa in Encanto.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Tiny Mouse.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see any of these. We've seen the twins, Mickey's twins before, like in artwork and stuff and like different. I think they were in A Christmas Carol, the Disney version.
Yeah, I feel like most of what I've seen from Mickey's family would be A Christmas Carol. Tiny Tim, etc.
Yeah. All right, number 10, our last piece of trivia. In the Disney parks, Duffy the Bear actually originated with Minnie Mouse. So there are multiple stories to this, but the story goes, quote, one day, Mickey was getting ready to set sail on a long sea voyage.
On Disney Cruise Line. Book now. Call your travel agent.
Minnie made him a special teddy bear to take with him so he would never be lonely. Minnie presented her hand-sewn bear to Mickey in a duffel bag. Mickey loved the bear and named him Duffy. As Mickey and Duffy sailed on their journey, they visited all sorts of exciting places and make new friends along the way. At the end of their travels, they sailed back home for a wonderful reunion with Minnie. Mickey and Duffy shared their magical memories and photos with Minnie, who was thrilled that Duffy was such a great friend and companion to Mickey, end quote.
Very cute.
So there's I found like a bunch of different stories like this that are all kind of similar, but have slightly different details. So I had no idea. I just thought that Duffy Bear was just its own thing.
It's like a Build-A-Bear, but for Disney.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was like a story that actually connected him to the mouse family.
Yeah. He's big in Japan.
Yeah. I think he was popular here. I just never really... He just suddenly appeared, as far as I was concerned. And
yeah. I think it was like kind of a response to the Build-A-Bear craze. Because they're about the same size. You could probably get the same clothes for... or the clothes size are probably the same if you have Build-A-Bear clothes versus Duffy Bear clothes.
Yeah, and he was more... he looked more cuddly than if you had a stuffed country bear.
Yeah.
Because some of those don't look that cuddly.
No.
They look creepy.
Yeah. It's a good thing she didn't put him in a knapsack or he'd be named Sacky.
Sacky.
Yeah, Sacky.
Suki.
Suki.
So yeah, so that's 10-ish items of Mickey and Minnie trivia to celebrate their birthday. So some of these I knew, but a lot of it I didn't really know the details of.
Yeah.
And I especially didn't realize how many times Mickey changed appearances throughout the years. I knew like there was some significant changes. Some like
major ones, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't realize like some of them he didn't have shoes on and other ones he didn't have gloves on. And
yeah, it really was like those first ones were like, there's a meeting and it's like, yeah, he's a mouse. He's got, you know, mouse features and shoes. And then they all just went to different offices and made different shorts, which probably was the case. And somebody was like, all right, let's get one Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. And then there's probably that one animator that was left out of the loop and thought that Mickey was actually mouse-sized.
Yeah. He was sick one day. Like, yeah. He was out sick.
He missed the memo that Mickey is actually... I guess is Mickey human sized?
No, I don't think he's human.
No, because I guess he's smaller than Yensid and the Sorcerer's Apprentice.
I think he's. I've always assumed he was like waist high, and Goofy is taller than me.
Yeah, he's a man dog.
Yeah, and like the Simpsons are like shoulder high. I think.
Oh, I assume they were human sized too.
Yeah, they might be. But to me, they've always, I've always felt like they would be.
You've always looked down on them?
A little shorter than me. Yes. So another cool thing is today there was that Disney, there's like a Mickey Mouse documentary that's been released on Disney Plus. We have not watched it, but looking forward to adding it to the list.
Yeah, we had planned on watching it because I thought it came out a few days ago. It's called Mickey, The Story of a Mouse.
Yeah. So I'm excited to watch that.
It's supposed to be good, but we'll see.
Oh. If you have a fun fact about Mickey Mouse, send it in. You can email us at info@tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram and Reddit at @tfppodcast. We're currently on Twitter at @tfp_podcast, but that is all completely up to Elongated Muskrat.
Who knows? We may be on Mastodon.
Yes. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. We have some pretty awesome t-shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com, and we have some exclusive Patreon-only content that's available to you. You support the show on patreon.com/tfppodcast. That's all I got. Anything else?
Happy birthday, Mickey and Minnie, and happy Thanksgiving to our U.S. listeners.
Oh, boy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.
Mickey.
The music, every move you make. These are the moments we'll remember.
We won't let each
other single thing. We can make the whole world turn.
Shut up, please, Mickey.
What we got
is sunshine today.
Feliz cumpleaños, Mickey.